Okay. So we left off yesterday, we were discussing this magic number Shishim and trying to wrap our hands around what exactly the goal of this magic number Shishim is. So we saw two radically different approaches in the Rishonim. We saw Kaisos represented what we thought all along, that Shishim is not so magical, not so mystical, not so halachic in nature. It's simply a lab test that we've all figured out to determine that there's no time. That's really all it's about. It could be Deraisa. The older time people is Deraisa, so then that lab test is accomplishing something that I've done. And the other time, people are like, the lab test is only working with the Rabbanim. But again, it's nothing more mystical, magical, spiritual than that. But Rashi, I'm holding this Rashi, on the spot says that when we're checking for Shishim, we already know there's no time. We already cleared the time. We had the good taste, the two taste, the great taste, the southern taste already long ago, and we know there's no time. The Afal Pichem is still requiring Shishim. That must mean that Shishim is some kind of a Shia bitul. Now, where does that come from? So obviously the answer is going to have something to do with Zeruah B'Sheila. That's going to be really the next part of the sugya. Not today, probably into later in the week. But it's rooted in something, and it's very possible it's rooted even in a Din Min HaTorah. It's very, very possible Shia Shishim is a real Din D'Oraisa, strangely enough, according to Rashi. But again, I don't want to take away too much from the future Shiurim. But there isn't a Din of a Shia. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, it doesn't mean Rashi denies Tosis. Rashi also believes there's the element of a lab test, but it's more than just a regular lab test. It's a real Shia Shishim. So let's go through the end of the Shia by being aware that, according to Rashi, this idea that there's a new Shia, which is very possible in HaTorah, very possible based on Psukim, of the Shia Shishim, this is another kind of a Shia of Bittul. We are all familiar with the Shia Bittul already, that everybody knows, with the Raisa Chad B'Trei Bottle, the source of that being Rov, Acharam Lahatas. That's the Gemara. Most of the favorites of the Sefer Gittin and other places, the Midaraisa Chad B'Trei Bottle. It's the Shia Bittul Chad B'Trei. There is an interesting machoikas in later poskim where the Chad B'Trei means a ratio of 1 to 2, or just means that's just a nice way of saying more than 50%. What would it then be if you have a row that's not 1 to 2? Let's say you have 2 and 3 or something. You have 3 pieces of kosher meat and 2 pieces of trade meat, they all get mixed together. Is that called a bit of a row? So some poskim want to argue, no, that's not a bit of a row. You don't have a 2-to-1 ratio. I'm not saying 2-to-1 ratio. The only reason why Chazal always used the phrase 2-to-1 is because we're talking about 3 pieces of meat. So the only way to get more than 50% is that 2-to-1. But all you really need is a ratio of more than 50%. Well, what's a good raya to that? That you don't really need a 2-to-1? What's a good raya to that?
Dayanim.
Because there are two different models of Dayanim. There's Dayanim of Dini Mamanus, which happens to be 2-to-1. But there's another model of following Rove, Dayanim of what? Of Din Fashas, where you have 13 to 10. Whenever you have 14 to give you numbers. 14 to 9, right? 14 to 9? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 14, okay. Okay, just make sure. Okay, good. So you can have rows that are not quite 2 to 1 and still suffice to be rows. So the Pashas Dvar Miz, there's no magic number 2 to 1. Because I'll just use that number because it's just convenient in terms of when you speak about Hatichas. Why should you confuse people and make the math harder? As it is, people can't figure out how to add. So make it harder. So 2-to-1 instead of 3-to-2, 9-to-8, then we really have to make that matter complicated. But there is a din, a sheer bittel of bittel the row, and it's a din de raisa, chram hatas, and we all know that in Reb Chaim, we spoke about this 100 times last year, this year, every year, Reb Chaim said that lik the pashat dayonim is a din of what? Because it's in a bittul, really, it's in a bittul, the Dasha Dayanam. Remember, it's quick. What? Because if one of them is the din is in the Dinim Amos Mishleshis, all three have to say the Psach. If one of them is screaming out Tutter, so then you don't have a Psach of three saying Chayim. So it must be that bittul Barov changes the meaning to become like Barov. So yeah, we all know this already. That's the basic din of Shia Bittul. Come to Rashi and tells us now, a Chiddush Gadol, not like this. Comes Rashi and says, there are two different shiurim. There's one shiur of the shiur rov. There's another shiur shishim. And each one of them are dinim derais. Each one of them are learned out from different sukkim. And you may have one without the other. So let's analyze a little bit what the relationship between these two shiurim is again. According to Taisus, it's knowing where they cancel shiur. They're about to come to shiur today. They're about to taste because it's not relevant for them. Of course, there is no din of a shiur of shishim. It's just a lab. Is it Enos today? Or the college classes today? Okay, so far, yeah, they'll be canceled. Okay, but it used to be in the old days, they had to snow like 6 feet before anyone had a havamin of canceling school. And now it rains for 10 minutes and ready. The whole all of New Jersey is shut down already. State of emergency. Okay, so back to that story. So within Shittas Rashi, there's a Shiach Shishim, and there's also a bit of Shiach Rav. Each one is an independent of their Isa. Let's analyze a little bit the relationship between the two. So it all starts with the very, very famous Mordechai, who we had a chance to read this Mordechai. Who would have thought the Mordechai is easy enough to sit on this Mordechai, right? Come on, who he has saw this Mordechai and said, wow, you can learn the whole thing, spend the whole day learning this Mordechai. This Mordechai is action packed. This is loaded, it's dripping with Mordechai. I love this Mordechai. So the Mordechai started with two very, very innocent kashas. With two Gemaras, neither of them have anything to do, at least at first glance, with Maseches Chulin. And the Mordechai must have been learning Chulin when he learned these Gemaras, and because he saw in these two Gemaras a fundamental question that undermined everything that he was used to in the world of Maseches Chulin, the world of Torah. One of the two Gemaras, one of the two Sugyas. One was a Sugya in Yevamos, and one was a Sugya that's quoted in the second part of Baba Kama, it's not in Baba Kama. So anyway, but it ended up tough in the book. So one was a sugya in the end of Maseches Yevamos, in fact, which is Chalitza, where the Gemara is discussing the intricacies of Rekika as part of the Chalitza process. So the Torah says that when you have a situation of a woman who is a Kuka Liyibum, that means her husband died without any children, so never she has to undergo either Yibum, and if she doesn't undergo Yibum, then she has to undergo the process of Chalitza, otherwise she cannot get married. So there are three components that make up the Mitzvah Chalitza. What are they? Chazar, Sukkah, B'chumash, what are the three parts? There's Chalitza, taking off the shoe. There's the Rekika, the spitting. She spits on the floor in front of him. And then what else? And the Kriyas HaPsukim, some by him, some by her, etc. So the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Yevamos that one thing for sure, the Kriyas HaPsukim is not ma'akev. That's for sure. If you didn't read the Psukim, b'diavad, the Chalitza is good. She can get married. Whether or not the Rekika is ma'akev is a Machlokes HaTanoim. And we happen to pass even that time. We pass the only part of the chalitza process that really, 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 really matters, b'di'evit, is the taking off the shoe. But afal pi chayim, even though rekika is not ma'akev, you're still supposed to do it. The mitzvah deraisa, you have to do rekika. So we want to do rekika properly. Anyone ever see chalitza? There were tragically a couple of chalitzas here after September 11th. There were two chalitzas that not Mamashem Yeshiva, we had them in the city, some of the days in the city. So we had two chalitzas that had to be done then. And there was another chalitza here in Yeshiva many, many years ago. I have to be learning Yevamos that year. I remember it was 34 years or something like that. There was a chalitza done here also. So I've only been in three chalitzas. So when you do chalitza, you want to make sure everything was done properly. So you have to do the rekika properly. So the Gemara raises a question about what would the din be if the Yevama is getting all ready to spit, she's getting all ready to spit, and we tell her in advance to collect the saliva enough that we're able to see at the base and supposed to watch the spitting. So she's collecting the saliva, and then she opens up her mouth and she gives a spit, and what comes out? A mouthful of blood comes out. I don't know blood. She spits blood all over the floor. So comes and goes, says, that's okay. So the rekika is good. The chalitza zikha is good. The chalitza is good no matter what. But even the rekika, you hate it. If you don't have to drive her crazy again, the rekika is good. Why is the rekika good? Because the Gemara says, the efshar le'dam b'litzich tzuchay reik. There has to be a little bit of saliva in there. The din is, lu yitzuya, the biological metzias would be that she only spat up blood and she didn't spit any saliva at all. That would not be a good rekika. Shouldn't be yaitzim, it's a rekika, because rok is not blood. Blood is not rok. They're two different things. But since it's e-epsher, there must be some saliva mixed in there. So therefore, you know, the chalitza is good, the rekika is there, you don't have to do it. E-epsher, le-dam, the Gemara has another phrase like that in a totally different part of halacha. Like, gamre, mamash, kamech, mamash, say the taharas. There's a din that Ziva, a man who has a submission of Ziva, so not only does Ziva make him Tameh, it's also true, but the Ziva itself is Tameh as well. And the Ziva, the Dava Zav, the Ziva itself that comes out of the man, is so Tameh that it's Betameh B'maga, if somebody touches it, they become Tameh, and it's Betameh B'masa as well. that if somebody moves the ziva itself, even though they didn't literally touch it, they also become tamei. Some things are so chomer that they're some things are so chomer that they're metam oil also. That's mace. The only thing out there, mace and certain things, taras, are also metam like a mace. But that's like the ultimate chomer. Something is so tamei that even though I didn't touch it, I didn't even move it, but I'm in the same room as it, it makes me tamei. Then you have other things that are not tamei oil, but they're tamei mago b'maso. Let's say, for example, kezayis and nevela. So the person moved the kezayis and nevela, even though they didn't actually touch it, they take a stick and they push it or something. So that's also the tamei de minat Torah. So the same is true for the ziva itself. And the ziva proper is the tamei de mago b'maso. Unlike shechvazera is also a davar hametamei. But shechva zera and ziva are not the same thing. Biologically, they're not the same thing. Those who are learning daf yomi, so they bumped into this recently. So they come out of the same part of the body, but they're caused by different things. They come out for different reasons. They're biologically very, very different. So comes the Gemara, it says shechva zera based on psukim, is also a davar hametame. It makes the man tame. And the shechva zera itself is also a davar hatame. Let's say if it touches a kli or something, if somebody touches the shechva zera, they become tame also. But shechva zera is on a lower level of tuma. It's not mitame b'masa. It's not mitame b'maga, not mitame b'masa. How do you know all these dinners? These are all psukim and chumash and drushes, halach mashu masira. This is all, we don't understand any of it. That's right. Welcome aboard to the world of tuma v'tahara. It's all chukim, it's all chukim atarik, zera samelach, and don't even waste your time trying to understand why it should not be so. Fine. So those are the dinners. That's the background. So come to Tanoim now. But I just said everyone agrees to. Come to Tanoim now and have the following shadow. What's the din if a Zav experiences Shechva Zera? So he's already a Zav. That means he's already experienced these emissions of Ziva. And now he goes ahead all of a sudden and he has a Re'ez carry. He has a Shechva Zera. So do we treat the Shechva Zera of a Zav like plain old Shechva Zera? And it's B'tameh, B'maga, and not B'tameh B'masa. Or do I say somehow for some deep dark secret, some deep dark reason, we should say that now the Shechva Zera of the Zav is elevated to a higher level of Tuma, and it's even Metame B'masa. Why should I say that? So it's Mechlokes HaTanoim, it's Mechlokes HaTanoim, whether you even say it. Now let's say that you say it, why do you say it? So one of the Tanoim says that the reason why we say yes, that the Shechva Zera of the Zav is elevated to a higher level of Tuma, not b'ikaron, so not for pure halachic reasons is this true. Fundamentally, his Shechva Zera is the same as any other person, and it's only Metame B'maga, not B'masa. But the reality is, the physical reality is that he efshar le shechva zera b'li tzichtzuche ziva. There have to be some little particle, some little ziva that's left. It all comes from the same part of the body. The guy just had a ziva an hour ago, and now he's having shechva zera. So inevitably, there was a little bit of shirai and a little bit of ziva that was left inside that didn't come out, and now it comes out in the next with the batch of shechva zera that comes out. It's a little bit of the particles of ziva coming. What's the shear of ziva? How much ziva do you need to be metame? Which is what dafyomi? So if there's a minuscule amount of ziva that's coming out of the body, it's metame once it comes out. It's metame. It's mamash today's daf, right? That yesterday's daf, whatever it is. That all these things are metame b'shasetzi yosan. So the second that a little mash or minuscule particle of ziva comes out, even though it's wrapped up and lost and all mixed up in the rest of the shechva zera. So it's betame. Every drop of shechva zera that you have to be concerned. There's a little bit of tzichtzuchei ziva inside, and therefore it's betame b'maga b'masa. At kan divrei gemara. So you have two gemaras that both invoke the same word of tzichtzuchei. Tzichtzuchei means little mashes, little shirayim that are mixed up. It's a body fluid that are mixed up in other body fluids. In the case of yivamos, it's the saliva that's mixed up inside the blood. In the case of shechva zera, the sugya in the end of the second part of Baba Kama, it's the tzichtzuchei ziva that's mixed up inside the shechva zera. And in both cases, Chazal said we have to be worried about it. At Kan, two different gemaras. So most people learned these gemaras and said, okay, great. They already made it after Daf Kuf and Yivamos. They're already exhausted. All they want to do is they see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yivamos is almost over. They just want to turn the page really, really fast. And the last thing they want to spend time is figuring out about the tzichtzuchei ziva and the rogue. The guy is learning Baba Kama. He's a yeshiva guy. He's learning Sefer Pek Baba Kama. He doesn't know about the zivas and shechva zeras and ma'ad and ma'asa. He doesn't know any of this stuff. His whole introduction to all three of the Torahs, if he's lucky, maybe he was not a Sedra once in Pasha Shmini, Pasha Mitzayrus, but he doesn't really know too much what's going on. And he's really learning the sugya of Shein Varegel, Bashis Arabim, which is how that got stuck in the first place. Rabbi Taifer in the Rabbanan about Dayo, and he's trying to get to the third pack. He's trying to finish ground. He's trying to finish the Masechta. He wants to move on to Bamitzi already. And he gets stuck with his Dinam Tumah. So most people are just kind of glossing over these sugyas. But the Mordechai is not like most people. That's why he was a Rishon. So the Mordechai looked at these two sugyas, and he said, wait a second, I have a kasha. What's my kasha? He says, why are we concerned, or why are we satisfied with the tzuchim that are in front of us? Why are we letting this rakika be acceptable? Why are we being mitame the shechva zera because of tzuchim? Those little tzuchim are two words. Batamarai. You never heard of Hiram Mahatis. You never heard of Pashas Mishpatim. Hiram Mahatis. Correct the Mordechai. What happened to Bittul Beroiv? That's the Mordechai's kasha. A bomb kasha. Who has this guy closest from Rabbeinu Meshulam? What did the Balei tell you? What did the Rishayim and Rabbeinu Meshulam? He's a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam. He asked this kasha. He says, "My God, what happened to Bittul Beroiv?" So if the Mordechai, two terutzim. You know what's kasha? What's terutz? The first terutz is easy. That's what Avi must have meant. It's easy. Don't talk about it. What's first?
It's always
a Nika. Nika. The first terutz is the easy terutz. That's the hard terutz. It's Nika. Holchem Esdin. If you look hard enough, you'll see it. You'll see the tzichtzuchei saliva there. You'll see the tzichtzuchei ziva there. If you know what you're looking for, you'll find the tzichtzuchei ziva. So it's nika. Nika, morning, nika, we know. It's like if I have a big, big pot of cholin and a piece of chaza falls in, but it's nika. I can see the chaza. So what does the Mishnah say? You have to take it out. The bitul berov doesn't work. If it's nika l'ayin, what's the shayla? Of course it's the problem. Nika l'ayin. Ein l'chol ma'aka bitul gadol mizeh. Who knows the famous Rashba? I don't know, do we talk about it yet this year? I don't want to give it away. All right, I'll give it away. The Rashba asked the kasha, how could the Torah give us a din of Tam Ki Ikar? It's against another din. We didn't talk about this kasha, it's Rashba. I've been holding back for it. The Rashba is a very, very, very strange kasha. He says, how could it be that the Torah gives us Tam Ki Ikar, Mishras, Kilei Nochrib, Asbachal, Vemir Mochrib, how you talking? There's a din of Tam Ki Ikar. Isn't there a din of Bittul Beroiv? Isn't there a din of Hiram Mahatis? How can there be a din of Tam Ki Ikar if we already know there's a din of Bittul Beroiv? Isn't every Tam Ki Ikar always covered by Bittul Beroiv? That's the Rash Kasha. So probably everyone here is thinking they don't even understand the Kasha. Well, why do you understand the Kasha? Why do you understand this Kasha?
It's not over here.
What even? You don't even go to this kasha. That means you're right. Bittul Beroiv was said when there's no time. I mean, what was the kasha? The Torah gives us two different dinim. Sometimes we go down the road of Bittul Beroiv. Sometimes we go down the road of Tam Ki Ikar. Tam Ki Ikar was this chadish in the situation of where there's Tam and the Chiyah Yavna. The Torah says not to follow road. That's what I would have said. But the Rashba doesn't say. Some of the Rashba had a problem with that Torah. We got a lot of work to do later on the year to figure out why the Rashba didn't say what was Milsa the Peshitta. So Zuk the Rashba the following terms. Got to hear this Torah. Got to listen to this Rashba. How to call? Yeah, Rashba, got to listen carefully. I told you, somebody told me that reading a Rashba is like getting a birthday present. They said, you open it up, you have no idea what's inside. You unwrap it, and wow, it's like a big surprise. You never know what you're going to find. That was the motion. So comes the Rashba goes off. Comes the Rashba and says, it's not such a big chiddush that Tam is Ki Ikar. It's obvious that you don't follow Rav. You know why? Because everybody knows you can't follow Rav when you have what? What's the absolute antithesis to Bittul Beroiv? The biggest enemy, the biggest antithesis of everything that Bittul Beroiv stands for when you have what?
Ben.
When you have Ben. But it's an Ikar Isser. When the Isser is staring you in the face, you're still Bittul Beroiv. Bittul Beroiv by definition means I can't see it, I don't know where it is, I have no idea, no clue. So it's Bittul Beroiv. If you have the Shia, whatever the Shia is, Bittul Beroiv. So up to Rashba, when it's Nikar Isser, it's not Nita the Bittul. But the Rashba, how do you define whether something is Nikar or not? The Roshim gave us five different senses. So which sense do we use to determine whether something is Bittul Beroiv? What would you have thought before 12:10 on Monday? Which sense do you use to determine whether something is Bittul Beroiv? In the sense of hearing, when you listen to the Yisra really carefully, what do you smell? You touch? Well, which sense? Your sense of sight. You use your eyes. If you're getting old, you have your glasses, if you look, you hold it on there. I don't see it. So it's not here, then I can discuss bittul. If I see it with my fever isayin, then it's a problem. Kuk the Rashba says, you know what the void of Tam Kikar is? Who's gonna tell me? Who's gonna fill the gaps? What is Tam Kikar? Every Tam Kikar is called Nikar Issa. You know why? Because the sense of taste, why is the sense of taste any less important than the sense of smell? And then the sense of sight and look, and the sense of sight. So comes the Rashba and says, Tam Kikar is not a chiddush in the Torah. Tam Kikar is not so radical. Tam Kikar is not antithesis of Bittul Baroi. Tam Kikar just tells me that you can't say Bittul Baroi, we do agree with a figure is, sir. The chiddush of Tam Kikar is that we take into consideration even Tam to be kaveya whether something is Mikar L'Yayin or not. So it's not really Mikar L'Yayin. It's a joke. It's a farce. It's Mikar to the taste buds. Nikar to the taste buds is also called Nikar, and therefore there's a din of Tam Kikar. It's not a steer to Bittul Baroif. I haven't heard that Rashi before. That's no pun intended. That's an eye opener, Rashi. It's a taste opener. That's a birthday present. Wow, happy birthday. That's a chasher. You know what's bothering about this Rashi before we go back to the Mordechai? This whole that we said the Rashi, we can't stop. We're on a roll, they say. Is that making sense to you? That taste buds should determine the nikaris of something? Come on, what does nikar mean? Come on, give me a break. What does nikar mean? The eye. Seeing is believing. But also is tasting believing. Why is tasting so important? What's the nature of this gzeiras hakasam? According to the Rashba, Tam Kikar is not a grandiose chiddush. Tam Kikar is just another method that Torah says to create nikar ha'isar, which gufa undermines Bittul Baroi by very definition. It's a knowledge finish. The taste buds matter. So the Rosh was bothered with this guy. The Rosh was like, why is taste so important? Again, sight, I see. Tasting, what's the tasting so important? You know what the Rosh says? Why is tasting so important? You know what the Rosh says? Why is tasting so important? Because that's what people eat food, because it tastes good. He says that's the whole goal of eating the food in the first place. That's what people eat. People like to eat food because it tastes good. So taste of a food is not tangential to the essence of the food. Taste of the food is a key component. It's the very definition of the food itself. I eat something that tastes good. I don't eat something that doesn't taste good. Like I sit in the restaurant, I go to this restaurant, and they give me a menu, and there are 16 different choices written in French or something. I have no idea what they mean. And what do I always ask the waiter? Tell me about it. What is it? It tastes good. If it tastes good, then I'll order it. If it doesn't taste good, I'm not going to eat it. I come to the marina, the Shmuel is there are 100 things there, so I go for the things I know taste good. I don't go for it. The marina, everything tastes good. But I go for what tastes good. So, Zot the Rash, the taste of a food is not external, it's not tangential to the Yetzim HaChefza. It is part and parcel of the Yetzim HaChefza. And therefore, it is very, very understandable that the terrorist Kedeya, that if the taste, which is such an integral part, is Nikar. Even though it's taka not nikolai, I cannot see it. It doesn't matter. That's also alzeh nam a nikar ha'isser. And if it's nikar ha'isser, that undermines a bit of the rave. That's the famous Rashba. We just touched on it. Not just a drop. There's a lot of work to do over this Rashba in weeks and months to come. Just as an aside, to appreciate the godliness of the Rashba, you have to appreciate the Rashba. Who the Rashba is, not just in terms of learning, in terms of tikkus. The Rashba then asks another kasha on himself. He says, "Really? Is that really true? That taste is such an integral part of the food?" So the Rashba says, "Let me prove to you that taste is so important to the food." He's nervous about this yisoid. He just created this yisoid, this new hagadara, the din deraisa, extending the parameters, spreading out the borders of what's called nikar. It's a nikar, so it doesn't just mean the few rice eye, but even the food as taste buds. And the Rashba's bothered. Someone's going to ask him a kasha and say, "It's not true." So he says, "I'm going to prove to you that it's true. I'm going to prove to you that taste is important." So how would you do that? I would say, ask all the people. Take a survey of people and ask them, does food taste good or not? Ask people why they eat things. You know what the Rashba did? How did the Rashba prove that taste is such an integral part of food? He didn't ask anybody. The club wasn't interested in asking. He didn't go to restaurants, the Rashba. Not French, not Spanish, no restaurants. How is he going to prove? How do you prove something in the world of Rashba? How do you prove a reality? How do you prove that something is true in this world. You go for a survey, you run a study, you pay $1 million to run a survey and interpret the statistics, that's how you prove things. How do you know it's the greatest echocha that something is true? Shteitin posu. If it's shteitin posu, guess what? Don't say emes. Something is emes if it's impossible. If it's not impossible, tell him. I have no idea. Maybe the labs are right, maybe the labs are wrong. Teiras kaveya the emes. So the Rashi, the love of posu. The love of posu, Eov. Often, different talk, no pun intended. Then we just look around, and gee, I need a posuk that tells me that tastes important, so we don't have a posuk in Eov that says, Vachich, Yutam, or something like that. So, oh, state the fresh posuk in Eov, that people eat things for the purpose of day. He had no idea why people eat food. Rashba wasn't even curious why people were eating food. He said, I eat food because I never have to learn, so I have to write chewing, I have to write tradition. So, of course, he had to eat breakfast. But we didn't know what the food tasted like. Rashba couldn't care less what the food tasted like. So the only way for him to prove that food was and taste was important, he had to dig up a pasuk, and lo and behold, he found the fresh pasuk in Eov. That's a Rashba. So we're going to get it back to that story. We're going to come back to this Rashba down the line. This Rashba is fascinating. Rashba for many, many, many different reasons. But it's clear as day, that Nikar Isser undermines Bittul, and therefore the Mordechai's first teretz is a pasuk to teretz, that the tzichtuche must be Nikarim. What's the problem with this teretz? What? I have no idea whether it's true. Right? We could try some experiments. Punch a guy or something. The next time you're playing hockey and you get smashed in the face, so quickly go and spit up a cup full of blood and look around for Roke. I don't know whether the Roke is Nico. I have no idea. We really want to try to experiment with the Ray. So Rabbi said, how do you know? The Tichtuche Ziva on the Karim inside the Sheikh Zara. Maybe. So the Rashba already says, the Mordechai already says we need another teretz. So he quotes the second teretz, and the second teretz is not a Metzias teretz, the second teretz is a halachic teretz. Look, the Mordechai, the following Yisrael, you have to hold on to this one. Look, the Mordechai says, Bittul doesn't apply in these two scenarios. Because both of these cases are what's called Ba Ma'ilam Goa B'ta'arayves. The only time Bittul works is when something existed in its own state, at a davar aser, at a davar mutter, some chazan fell into the pot of potatoes, little chametz fell into this, or a pesach, you know. Those are the classic examples of bittul we've been talking about. But when something is bol oilam b'tarayves, it's up to Mordechai, bol oilam, that neat unto bittul. Why not? I have no idea. But if something is bol oilam b'tarayves, the whole parsha bittul doesn't apply. As I stated, Mordechai, and therefore, both of these physical, these liquids, are bala olam b'tarayves. The blood and the reich enter into the world in unison. They enter into the world in the state of b'tarayves. And in the state of b'tarayves, people fall short. Now, between you and me, is that true? Biological truth. Who's a pre-med guy here? Can you say, no one? Not one pre-med. Not one. Who is inside Sims? What's going to be with all the chayim in the next generation? There's a lot of money, but doesn't want to take out the chayim. You got to have to switch money, guys. You have to go to pre-med. So Rabbi Sayyid, is it true? Blood and reich are bala ilum that reiches. Yeah. Well, what makes the blood in the body? What? Bone marrow, blood, red blood cells, white blood cells. No, okay. What makes the Reich?
Cells in the mouth.
They're getting messages from the enzymes, the mice, something like that. So they're not exactly Babylon Tarayves. If you give yourself a poke over here, there's no roke in here. If I spit here, there's no blood in here. So what does that mean, the Babylon Tarayves? What's the answer? It means the Oilam state when? After it exits the person's body, but inside the body cavity is Lomal Vamayri. And the same is true with the Ziva and the Shechazera. Ziva and Shechazera are not necessarily even come from the same part. I don't know. I have no idea what's making the Ziva. But it doesn't matter what's making the Ziva. I don't care if the urologist tells me where the Ziva is coming. Tachlis, when it enters into Avraha Oilam, it's Balam, right? It's Bala Oilam, it's Bala. It's in our world. What happens inside the body? Before ultrasounds and CAT scans and MRIs, what goes on to the body is a mystery. It doesn't. We're not geiris, but it goes on inside the body. What matters is once it's bala olam for us. If you write your name, so zok the Mordechai. When something is bala olam mitareves, it's not neat and the bitul. Anyone know why? No idea why. Zok shteit the Mordechai. Hopefully, to be determined why as we go on. So let's take this Mordechai and put it in the back burner for a moment, and let's begin to learn another sugya and see how eventually all the pieces of the puzzle are going to come together and going to pose a very, very serious issue for us in terms of understanding the relation between Shia Rav and Shia Shisha. We haven't even began. We haven't got anywhere near our topic yet. So forget the Mordechai. Don't forget it, but just put it on hold for a moment. Sugi Maseches Chulin, the fourth third. Anyone figured out the sugi? Did I put it on the Mamakamis? I put the Shulchan Aruch on, right? Anyone figured out the sugi? Anyone bother to look up the Gemara? I don't know what I'm talking about even. Okay, so here's the story. You need a little bit of a background. The background starts as follows. A shechted animal. I opened it up and all of the hold, I said, you know, that animal was a little chubby beforehand. And I opened it up, by golly! What? Hit the jackpot. What's inside? There's an Uber inside. So that Uber was covered by the shechita of the mother. There was no need to go ahead and check this Uber. Now, if the Uber's found dead inside the mother, it wasn't even a fully developed, then for sure it's covered by the mother. That's not even a shayla. The mother learns out from Tzukim. But behema is not tochelu. Kosher behema, ochelu. Whatever's inside the animal is covered by the shechita of the animal. The chiddush of behema tochelu is much more than that. Not only of the animal the Uber's found dead, but even guess what? You won't believe this one. A shechta of the animal, what happens? The Uber walks right out. It was already full term baby. And it walks out. Here I am, Baruch Ato. And Machleg is that to know him. We pass like the Chacholim. Then in the Torah, that animal doesn't need Shechita. Even though what? It's alive and well. It's walking around for not 20 years. That animal is Keshochter. It's already Shapi Din. It's already Schal Shechita on it. What's that called? Anyone know? It's called a Ben Pekur. The special the exercise of that animal does not need Shechita min HaTorah b'chlal. And min HaTorah, any time along the way, in 10 years from now, the animal's alive. It's a great grandfather, really. This animal. You know what I could do? Walk right over and do what? Take a bite right out of it. It's Hetta Gomer. I say min HaChai. No, it's not. You know why? Because Al Pidin, it's what? It's Shechita already. It's already Shechut. That's it. Kol Behemes HaChema. But the Rabbanan doesn't look right, Maharsayan, it looks a little bit fishy, you know, people eat meat without shech. But the Minat Torah works, it's sometimes even the Rabbanan it works, and then the Gemara says, an unbelievable Kiddush, if you have a Ben Pakua, that marries another Ben Pakua, keep it in the family, right? So they go on while you connect, and they say, what are my credentials? I'm a Ben Pakua, and I need a Bas Pakua. So they get married together, they have Bnei Banu and Bnei Pakuas, what's the din? They also don't need you can make a whole Ben Pakua farm. So there's a fellow, every year he comes to yeshiva, he's trying to sell this idea, make the whole Ben Pekua farm, lower the cost of kosher meat, we'll make all Ben Pekua farms, we'll do it all, shechita, everything will be great. Okay, so we haven't yet seen it happen yet, but he comes every once in a while to yeshiva, try to sell this idea. Okay, good. Everyone comes here, this is like the breeding ground for all fascinating ideas in the world. Okay, fine. So Rav Isai, what's the din in the following? About the shech, this animal. And all of a sudden, very strange things happen. About the shech, and lo and behold, Hashem Yeshev plays out. The animal sticks its arm out. What's he doing with his arm? What did the arm just come out for? He stuck his arm out. He's about to be born. But well, I don't want to be born yet, because then I have to abolish shech to him, and I need my Ben Pekua farm. So, I kind of push it back. It goes back inside. And then I quickly shech the animal. What's it do? What's it do? So the whole animal that was inside that never exited is what? It's mutas, Ben Pekua. That arm that stuck out, even though Bishash Chit was back in, what's the din? Sorry, Charlie. Once the arm was stuck out at any time, it's in the Gemara, we pass the halacha. Once that arm was out, even though it subsequently reverted back in, the shechita will not affect, will not be chal, will not be taifas on that arm, and you have a very, very mugda animal that's coming out now. You have an animal that exits post the shechita, that 95% of that animal is kosher, but the hand is trafe. And how bad is that? How bad an issur is that? Believe it or not, it's an issur deraisa. What's the name of the issur? Anyone know? What's the name of that issur? What in the world could we call that issur? It's not chazer, it's not medela. What is it? It's not daram, it's not chayr, it's not gerim. What is it? What's the name of the issur? Anybody know? Show me the pasuk. Ubasar basad de treifa lo socheru. Basar basad de treifa lo socheru. Treifa means an animal that was mauled, that was attacked out of the fields, and it's now going to die very soon. It's in fact, it's got its stomach punctured, it's got its head, hole in its head, it's got a hole in its heart, it's got problems in its lungs. So the Torah depicts the parasha of Treifa with this very, very like graphic, you know, horrific description. You see this poor little sheep and a wolf attacking. But we all know that the din of Treifa apply not only in that, that's just an illustration of Treifa. What's the real problem with Treifa? That it has some kind of a hole, some kind of a break, some kind of a something, some kind of an internal problem, either an illness or an injury, that will kill the animal fairly soon. That's called the treifa morbitur. So the Torah depicts an illustration of treifa, but that's just an example of treifa. It can happen even though there's no violence, there's no wolf, there's no nothing. I have a sheep sitting in a very, very quiet little barn, but it develops some kind of a hole in its stomach, and that's also treifa morbitur. How do I know what is a treifa morbitur and what's not? How would I ever figure out what's a treifa morbitur? How would I ever know? I would never know on my own. The Torah just gives you one example. Most of us on a treifa. How would I ever know? There's a hole in the heart, there's a hole in the lung, a hole in the brain, is the kidney like a brain? Is the kidney like not like a brain? Is the spleen like a brain? How would I ever know any of this? What's the answer? This is all. So there are 8 basic categories of halacha mashlim of treifas, and then there are 70 different subcategories of treifas, and you have to learn the whole Torah b'chul to figure this out. What are the treifas the most prepared than? So there are din, there is a what's called halacha. Part of it's halacha mashlim, part of it's chacham to figure it out on their own, but certain halachas are considered to be treifas, and certain halachas. In the olden days, almost treifas was a common legal. Any rabbi had no treifas. In the olden days in Europe, they were paskin on behemoth from right and left. So part of the job of the town rov was to paskin on the treifas shaylos. Today, nobody has to know. I mean, has to know treifas. You have to call to a kula, but most people don't spend tremendous amount of time in treifas. Remember, when I came to YU already almost treifas was already off the curriculum of smicha. But in the olden days, my father learned for smicha, so almost treifas was on the curriculum. I still have his Shulchan Aruch that has all the shachs and all the things about earlier underlined and marked around and all the din of treifas. That was like common. Everybody will ever get speaker in the old days. How to learn treifas. So the Torah describes treifas with a very, very strange phrase. Basav asada treifas sochelu. What does sada mean? What does sada has the connotation of where? It's outside. It's like, yeah, Esav is an ish sada. Yaakov is an ish tam yoshev. Well, he stays inside. And Esav is running outside. So the Torah Shema Peh tells us this in a million years I'm going to say this. Basa basada treifa teaches me kevan sheyasa basa chutz mimechitzasai harez asura. Any meat that left its mechitzos has a status like basa treifa. Again, that's not what the simple pshat. The pasuk is talking about basa basada treifa. The animal got attacked by the wolves, by the lions outside. It's got holes in its heart, holes in its lungs. That's the treifa of the Torah. But since the Torah depicts the treifa morbitur with the phrase basoda, which is a lashon of chutz, ish soda, something which is davar min chutz, so we have the Torah Shema Peh teaches us basa yasa chutz mechitzasai is also awesome. And what's an example of a basa yasa chutz mechitzasai? So the Gemara has 2 different examples. One is meat that left its boundaries, its natural barriers. What are the natural barriers of a fetus? The mother's body. If it left the mother's body, it was yatzah chutzah mechitzasai, and even though it was subsequently returned, so in theory the shechita should have been chal on it, sorry, it can't be, it's already nifsal with the din deraisa called basa shat chutzah mechitzasai. Then the Gemara takes this din of basa shat chutzah mechitzasai in another way and says, what are some other examples of meat that left its mechitzas? What other natural mechitzas do things have, or halacha mechitzas things have? A piece of meat was taken out of the sukkah on sukkah, so it's called Yotz Mechitzos. Yeah. Was taken outside the Erev on Shabbos. Yeah, come on. Was taken to the women's section in Shul. Yotz Mechitzos. Yeah. Come on. Give me an example. Give me another example of a basa Yotz Mechitzos that could be nitvas on in the Nisavir Aisa. Of a lot. Kachim. Kachi was supposed to be in certain mechitzas psara. Kachi Kachi was supposed to be in Yazara, Kachi Talmud Yerushalayim. So there are mechitzas. If the Basar is Yaitse, all of a sudden it becomes possible to eat because Basar was Sada Trefa was a Chelo. So this Pasuk is a whole new world. In addition to the regular rules of Trefas and the Terbe Yechulid, there's this brand new law called Basar Shatchas. So I have this animal now. It's a very, very strange animal, halachically. It's a bizarre animal, halachically. This is the baby, okay? This is the baby. It has... Okay, this is one of the feet. Okay, arms, feet. This is one of the hands, all right? Okay, I don't know how to draw three-dimensional animals, which is cool. This foot, this hand, a few weeks ago, was Yotze Chutzimotzos. So now this animal is sitting here, and I want to know, Rabbi, can I eat this animal? So the answer is, you don't have to shech the rest of the animal. And even if you chose to shech it, it's lamal of lamayrin, it's not going to be matir what? This little part. This is also going to have malchus feeding this, with or without shechita. This is het gom even without shechita. And this is it's a gom with the rice, even with shechita. Everyone looked at the fourth paragraph of chulin, that's the first sugi in the fourth paragraph of chulin. Beginning of behem kasha. People think that Shiva got learned to fall behind chulin, so it's not that they're a kasha. I think the behemoth is asking a kasha. It means the behemoth is having trouble having a baby, having to be birthed. It's having it's labor. It's having kisha. It's having a pain, labor pains. Not asking kashas. Okay, so fine. So this is the din that. So now, come to Gemara later on in chulin. Everyone figured this all out on their own? What I'm telling you? Not a clue, right? Okay, that's what we have for sure. Okay. So comes the Gemara, if you would have looked up the Gemara, that the Shulchan Aruch maybe you would have had a chance. So comes the Gemara, has the following shayla. Bar Mishav has the following shayla. If this animal, this Ben Pekua, that's 99% of his kosher, except with one little extremity that's us in that Torah, if this happens to be a girl, then after a little bit of time, what happens? It starts to what? Produce milk. Right? So it has an udder over here, okay, and a little milk comes out. So I have a bucket full of milk. I want to know, is that milk kosher or not? What's the shame? So we all know, milk that comes from a cow is what? Kosher. Milk that comes from a pig is what? The shrimp. How do you know that? Okay, so the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a dover, a yotzim, and an osur is also. Yotzim and a tummy. So something that comes from a non-kosher species of animals is treif. Just as the meat is treif, such as the sarah chazer is treif, so the chav yetz v'chazer is treif also. And the Gemara learns that from psukim, it says b'chayrus, esangomo, basayana, a whole series of different psukim to teach me this. But that's the bottom line. If you have a treif, a species of bird, so there's an ostrich, lays an egg, that egg is awesome in a Torah. If you have a pig that gives off milk, that milk is treif. We spoke about this earlier this year, right? Last year. What's the Chayis Tezen Rambam? Quickly, who remembers? What's the Chayis Tezen Rambam about what the nature of the din of Yotzer and Elser is? No one remembers? Is it a new Isser? This is the Fayatzel called Yotzer and Elser, or Yotzer and Elser is just begala to me that it's considered to be part of what? Of the original Isser. It means not only is Basar Elser, but even the Yotzer and Elser is Dino Kibasar. The Chayis Tezen Rambam, we get Malchus for it. Is it Sarab? Mechayis Tezen Rambam? Ring a bell? No, no, this year. We didn't quote this Bishkarab last year. We did. We definitely did. Yeah. I don't remember where we talked about. Somewhere. In Baba Kama came up. I'm sure. We made it come up. Okay, good. So Rabbi Sai. So there's no question. Pig's milk is treif. No question. Cow's milk is kosher. What's the Gemara Shailam? The Gemara Shailam is milk of something that's awesome. Mishul Yatzah Chutzim Chitzasai. Kosher treif. That's the Gemara Shem. So what would you think, Isha? How would you formulate the Shem? This Isser of Yotze bin Asar. I'm sorry. This Isser of Yotze Chutzim Chitzasar. The Gemara is assuming that this is helping producing some of this milk. So part of this animal is Asar, treif. Right? Wolf limits. Does this kind of an Isser create a din of Yotze? That's the Gemara Shem. What's the Shem? Who could form the Shabbat? Who could form the Shabbat? What kinds of Isurim create this or Yotze which don't? Anyone have cereal and milk this morning? Anyone have a cup of coffee with milk this morning? Where did milk come from? cow. You're allowed to eat a cow. You can walk up to a cow and take a bite out of a cow. Right now, by show shom. Why not? This is the rest. So all milk should be treif because it's a yotzim and also. Right? Anyone ever thought of that? You guys will stop eating milk. Who's having pizza for lunch today? Share lunch? No? One of these days? One of these years? Okay. Chanukah, supposed to have milk. Okay? Kavina. So I don't understand. How could you ever drink milk? And all milk is yotzim and also. The cow is also. Who's kasha this? The Gemara is kasha. Bechor is avol. The Gemara is kasha. What says, how could milk ever be kosher? Once we have a din of yotzim and aser, all milk by definition is yotzim and aser. So you know what the Gemara says? The Gemara works really, 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 really hard on this one. And finally, the Gemara concludes it's a gzeres hakosa, that it's okay anyway. Baruch Hashem, we could breathe a sigh of relief that it's okay. Anyone know what the gzeres hakosa means? Eretz of Askelon and Bash. What does that mean? The Ribbono Shel is trying to, you know, convince you to come to Eretz Yisrael. And we're setting up, you know, we're setting up our tourism site. And we're putting on Eretz of Askelon and Bash. Come and enjoy. It's a gewaltige place. And the two things that the Torah advertises are Zavas Chalav Udvash. And guess what? All the milk is straight. That's how the Rebbe, that's how the Torah would advertise. Come to Eretz Yisrael and eat Tarfus. Chalila v'chalila. You don't go to Eretz Yisrael to do a vein. You don't go to Eretz Yisrael to do mitzvahs. So if the Torah is advertising Eretz Yisrael as being a Zavas Chalav Udvash, that must mean it's a good thing. You would never be so foolish to put on your tourism site something that's so negative, something that's terrible. That's why I never understood. What's the symbol of the Minister of Tourism in Eretz Yisrael? Whoever thought of that is Mamish Orf Zracher. It's the two people holding a stick with a cluster of grapes. The Meraglim. They were the first tourists. That's how you convince people to come to Eretz Yisrael. Come to Eretz Yisrael and you too can lead to the Tisha B'Av. You too can have a chorban for 40 years. You too can rebel against Rebbe Shalom. Why not? That's how you advertise it. Someone got lost in the shuffle there. I'm the only guy that ever noticed that. Who would have noticed that before? Nobody noticed that? That's a telegram. Okay, fine. Anyway, back to that story. So the Rebbeinu Shalom advertises Eretz Yisrael. Of course it's mukher. We can breathe a sigh of relief on mukher's kosher. It's a gzeres hakosov. So what is the Torah telling me, in effect, with the gzeres hakosov? What the Torah is saying, notwithstanding the fact that there's a din of yetzim and aser aser, clearly, this Isser of Adav Achai, this Isser of Adav Achai, was not neat, it was not nichol in that parasha. So, live animals, the fact that something is also because of being a live animal, that in and of itself is not enough somehow to be fallen to the category of Yotzim and also. It's a quirk, it's exact. I wouldn't have known it on my own, but I'm taking the Chumash. So, when I get to the Pasuk Eretz of Aslan Adash, I realize that I redefine what Yotzim and also means. Yotzim also means if it's Yotzim and Achaz, and a Gomel, things like that, but Yotzim Minha Chai is Lutim. So it's that Rabbi Sharish and Gemara Chum of Sebechtes is not sure about. Where does this Isser of Yatzachutz Chitzase fit into the picture? Is this Chazir or is this Chai? The answer is it's neither. It's somewhere in the middle. It's not quite Chazir. What do I mean by that? Because it's not a what? This Isser is not quite on par with Chazir. Well, you got Chai Malchus for it, but it's not the same conceptual as Chazir. What's worse than Chazir? Chazir is a species of tumah. Chazir is a species of a davar asur. This is still a cow. A cow is a min tohor. So on the one hand, it doesn't have all the negative, you know, connotations of Chazir, which carries with it an Isser d'raisa of Cholov. On the other hand, it's not quite on par with a davar Chai. Why? What does the davar Chai have over this? A davar chai is also, it's an issa deraisa of a chai, but there's something very, very lenient about a davar chai. What is that? What? What's so cool about the issa of a chai? It's such an easy issa. It's almost nothing to it. Why? The shecht and it's over. It's a rectifiable issa. Eshel asakim, biyad asakim. So now, this is what the Hevi Gamarim was sitting and seeing conceptually. Everyone chop this, everyone saw this. When you saw the Maram Kodem, you see the you realize that this is the suffering that the Gemara is not sure about. This Isser of a Yotza Chutz Mechitzasai. This Isser Deraisa Basa Basada. The word Basada, the Rebbeinu Shlom wrote the word Basada. There was no need to the word Basada. Basada's Maram is to me this new din of Yotza Chutz Mechitzasai being Asim in a Torah and Malchus the works. We don't know where this fits into the spectrum of Yisurim. Chazir is a disaster. The worst of the worst, because it's a min tamei. Eibu min achai, dov achai, eibu b'chayeha, is not so bad, because there's a gemalik akula that's mitar b'shchita. Yotzechut chitzasu is nisht min tamei, it's a cow. There's nothing you can possibly do to rectify the sister. So it falls, slips right between the cracks. And that's exactly what the Gemara doesn't know. And that's why the Gemara's blife take it. Taka don't know what the answer is. Does this create an Isser or not? As the take of the Isser, what do you have to do? Is the Shavu Deraisa? Because Alat Sad, the Emes Klap Ishmaya is that this is closer to the Ma'al of Chazer that we don't know, rather than to the Ma'al of Meir Chayah. So this is going to have to be also. So Misafik, we don't know what the answer is. Misafik, you have to go to Chumah. So therefore, the din in Ram and Shukhroch is that you cannot drink the milk from this animal. So when the Shukhroch quotes this din, that you can't drink the milk from this animal, so Shukhroch says you can't do it. You know why? Why can't you drink this milk? How does the Shukhroch present it? Because there's some milk in there that's coming from where? From the foot, from the arm, whatever it is. And even though we know that a lot of the milk was coming from the rest of the animal, but there is some coming from the foot, from the arm, we have the part that's also. And since we have no way of determining whether it's close to the chazir or the devachiyah, it's blight to something to take from the Gemara, we don't know the answer. Therefore, the suffix, we have to say it's also. And we almost invoke what kind of a model. It's like when I have a bucket of milk in here, so I have, it could be there's a lot of milk in here that's really kosher. Because a lot of that milk is really ultimately coming from the rest of the animal, which is kosher ugamre, mutlach achiva. But there's a small percentage of the milk coming from the trefa leg, which we lechum remid of the rice lechum, we have to say as also. So you have an asar, you have a tarayt, it's a kosher milk and trefa milk. And therefore, what does the shukhanor say? You can't eat it. You can't drink the milk. It's a tarayt, it's a besotik, it's a deraisa. What are you going to do? Lace bread, you can't drink the milk. Comes the Bach. And now gets the ball rolling. Who was the Bach say? I put it on the memory card. I put the Taz in the Bach, right? Then I put the Taz on? I didn't put the Taz in the memory card. What did I put in the memory card? Oh, okay. So comes the Bach. Didn't you call the Bach? Okay, what does the Bach say? The Bach says, okay, great, it's all fine. It's Tarayvus. And it's Bach of a Shishim. Maybe. He says, now you have to figure out. You have to go back to the animal now and measure the animal and say, well, what is the ratio between the foot, the hand, and the rest of the animal? It depends. But how big the animal, how much of the foot? It could be that only one finger was yotzechut chitzasa. Maybe your toe was yotzechut chitzasa. I don't know how much was yotzechut chitzasa. So you have to go back, get the veterinarians out there, measure the animal, get some water displacement in there, go get Archimedes with the vets all together, and make a cheshbon if you want to salvage that cup, that bucket of milk. You can't blame the Bach. He took it right out of the Shechonach. It's like a taraydis of kosher grapes. So he followed the rules of Shishim. So his son-in-law, who's the son-in-law of the Bach? Taz. Was a young, little young boy. When they realized that he had gone way past all the Rebbe's and the Cheder, the little town that he came from. So they sent them off. In those days in Europe, if they saw like the real Eli in the making, so they were able to afford it, so the family would send them off to another rabbi. There weren't yeshivas like we have today. There weren't like kavua yeshivas. So they would send them to a greater rabbi. They would send them to another town, to a bigger gedolah. So the Taz's family, they sent them off to the Bach. I think he was 7 years old, 9 years old. They sent them off. He had already finished Asher. So they sent them off to learn by the Bach. The Bach was a girl of door at the time. So the Bach took him in as a young man, and he raised him, and he learned him as a yeshiva. She would have the tamina that he had. And he also, as an aside, what else did he do? He married him off to his daughter. Right? He liked him the most, so he married him off to his daughter. But Taz became the son-in-law of the Bach. He quotes the Bach all the time. He quotes him, Mem Bach, Mori Vacham. He always refers to his father. So here, the son-in-law disagrees with the father-in-law. The Taz says, my father-in-law, the Shver is right, the Ikaron, the Lomdus, but not the Metzias. You know why? Why is the Metzias wrong, says the Taz? He says, Verveis, who in the world knows how much of any given animal produces how much milk? He said, "I am not in the inner, deeper workings of the vet system of the mammary glands of an animal. I have absolutely no idea. Nobody knows Ruach HaKodesh how much of any given part of an animal is responsible for X amount of milk, and therefore you can't just look at the volume of the animal and say, well, it's a big fat animal, small toe. That's not going to do the trick. Maybe the small toe is making 80% of it. I have no idea. There's no way of measuring, no way of knowing this." And therefore the Taz says, I can't practically put my father-in-law's psak into reality. But the Ikaron, what does the Taz say? Lu Yitzuya, the vets would get together today and they'd figure it out and figure out all the math. What would the din be? The Ikaron? The Bach's right. It's not a bottle of shishim. It's bottle of shishim. Now is when the party starts. This is all introduction. Okay? All introduction, everybody. So I knew. Remember the Mordechai we put in the back burner? Who remembers that Mordechai? What was the aside of the Mordechai, second Teretz? The what? Bol olam tarayim says anit and debitol. Remember that? We have no idea why, but that was the klal of the Mordechai. What is this milk, Rabbi Sai? This is the ultimate bol olam tarayim. When the milk's coming out of the udder of the animal, it's coming into the bucket, it's all mixed together. It's not like a little tray for milk I'm mixed into a pot of kosher milk. That's not what happened. It was bol olam tarayim. So frek the Mishlo Melech, frek the Gedol Echraim, and say, how could the Taz and the Bach buy into this idea of Bittul? The Bach bought into it practically in the Maisa, and the Taz bought into it theoretically, even though he shied away from it practically because of this quirk that couldn't do the math. But Bikaron, the Bach, he said, is right, that's like a Taravis. What's a Taravis? It's all along the Taravis. So how could these Gedol Echraim go up against this Mordechai? They disagree with the Mordechai? Maybe hold it the first text of the Mordechai. Hard to believe. Somebody should have been aware of the fact that these Gedol Echraim were against Rishayim. So the Taz said and the Bach said and nobody's points about Tzavtzev until the Mishlo Melech raised the red flag on this one. The Chachuv raised the red flag. The Yehuda raised the red flag. How could these Gedol Echraim namish from Malam Ayin from this Mordechai? It's a classic bowl all the time. No? What's the answer, Rabbi Sai? Kump the Nedv Yehuda and says, I'll tell you the answer. Says in the Yehuda, that you don't follow Bittul by Bola Olam Mitarevas, that's only true by Bittul Bereiv. Or by Bittul B'Shishim works even by Bola Olam Mitarevas. I can't even hear it. Now, of course, we have absolutely no idea, no way of understanding that. Why? How are we ever going to understand the Chiluk of the Yehuda? Because what don't we understand? We have no idea why it didn't work in the first place. It means you can only explain why a certain rule is limited if you understand why the rule was true to start with. But we have no idea why the rule existed in the first place. So how in the world are we going to understand the qualifications of the Nedev Yehuda? So we have a lot of work cut out for us, everybody saying. Now that we've identified both sugyas, we learned three sugyas today. We learned the sugya about Rekikas Yevava, we learned the sugya about Shechva Zera and Ziva, and we learned the sugya about milk coming out of animals. There were and all of a sudden we put together these three pieces of the puzzle and we realized, hey, wait a second, we got a huge problem. How could these Gedolei HaPoskim B'Shulchan just apply the rules of Bittul just like that? What happened to the Mordechai Yisrael? So the Abuna came up with this seemingly almost, I don't mean in a negatively arbitrary answer. No, that's Bittul Barov, this Bittul Shishim, they're all different. So we have no idea what the Mordechai was talking about. We have no idea why he said what he said. We have no idea why the Abuna is saying what he's saying. And of course, the most important, we have no idea why this has to do with anything. Why are we even talking about this? I hope it's an interesting topic. But what does it have to do with our sugya? So the answer is you can already begin to see this is going to become huge for our sugya because we are starting to see potential applications where one form of bittul may fail us and another form of bittul may save us, which is right back to where we started before I erased everything, that there are different dinim of bittul in halacha. At least according to Rashi. So we have a lot of work to do in the sugya just to be able to understand what is going on in the world in the Mordechai and the world in the Yehuda, to understand how this impacts back on us, and to get a little bit of a better understanding of Rov and Shishim and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, hopefully, that's your so hopefully, so tomorrow we'll pick up again. Okay? If you guys want to dive in, you guys can, I have to run, I think my daughter's in school, if you guys want to dive in,